I'm sure amongst you also, you'd all be in agreement that it's just unbelievable what's going on over here in Torah Tragah. The learning across the board from A to Z, everybody in the alphabet. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't feel that they've grown over this year, and especially in the last month. I don't think that you can't even think of one person that hasn't grown in some important way or other. And I don't think anybody in the yeshiva would say about themselves that they haven't grown in any kind of a way. I think that the feeling in the air is palpable. We feel inspired by it. I think you also feel inspired by it, and it's really very special. So first of all, a tremendous yisur koyach to everybody in the yeshiva. I think it's specifically at times like this also that we also have to think ahead. It's inevitable that we're all going to fall at some point or other. That's how life works. You have ups and you have downs. There's times that you're doing better and there's times that you're doing not as well. That's the nature of how life works. It's not like a curse or an iron heart to say that you're going to fall. That's just like that's how life works. Everybody falls in some way or other. And the question really is, how do we deal with it when those falls happen? Sometimes they're smaller falls, and sometimes they're bigger falls. But besides there being a test before a person falls, whether or not they're going to sin or not, whether they're not going to do that mitzvah or not, but there's a test, and also, how do you pick yourself up after you've fallen, or after you've made a mistake, or after you've made a choice that you're not happy about? What do you do about that then? I think we would all agree that as high of a level as maybe we've attained so far, we're nowhere close to the level that Klal Yisrael reached at Matan Torah and Har Sinai. And I think that no matter what we might do next, I don't think that will be as bad as what Chayta Ega was 40 days later. And yet, Klal Yisrael continued after that entire experience. If you think about it, right after Chayta Ega happened, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and those luchos that they saw being given, and they heard the voice of Hashem coming from Shemayim, and they know that they were just exposed to the ten makos and kriyat yamsuf and man falling from Shemayim, and like, what did Hashem not do for them? And they heard how important, they said nasa v'nishma, and they got crowned. They were so happy with themselves. And now, like, it's such a terrible ending to the story to see Moshe Rabbeinu throw it on the floor and break it in front of you, and you're looking at yourself and you're realizing what a low level that you've reached, and just now, forget it. We just threw everything away. Hashem did everything for us, and there's nothing worse that we could have done. You would have expected that the continuation of the story would be that Kaiser would just right away do another huge sin, another, or just give up completely. Or Moshe Rabbeinu, after a whole life's work, and after in Shemayim fighting with the Malachim that they should give him the Torah, because yes, it does apply to mankind, it does apply to humans, they could handle it. The first second that you're coming down, all of a sudden to be greeted with this, with Chayta Egel. And Moshe Rabbeinu also, we don't find that he gave up at all. The ramifications of Chayta Egel we're still feeling today. Galus is because of Chayta Egel. Mashiach would have been, and the Gula would have been, had Chayta Egel not happened, Moshe Rabbeinu would have brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and the story would have only gotten better from there. So and there's no tragedy that befalls the Jewish people today that the Gemara says doesn't have somewhat of a kapara still for Chayta Egel. Meaning, it was a tremendous damaging sin. A sin is damaging. And that sin was terribly damaging and destructive to the Jewish people. But could you imagine if Klal Yisrael would have just given up at that point and not continued to try, or if Moshe Rabbeinu would have just given up? How much more damaging and destructive that would have been. All the Sfarim that have been written, all the Jews that have lived, all the Torah that's been learned. The world would have been destroyed. If Klal Yisrael would have just gave up on the Torah at that point, there would have been no more world. The world was created for Torah and the Jewish people. The world would have just stopped. So, yes, it was terribly destructive, the sin that they did, but it would have been so much more destructive had they not picked up the pieces afterwards in the right way. The damage that could be done with how you deal with after a sin could be much greater damage than the very sin itself. Sometimes the sin itself that a person does could even be the thing that ends up bringing about the greatness that ends up coming out of them. There's in Parsha Shmini, the first time that a korban was ever going to be brought on the Mizbeach was to be brought by Aaron HaKohen. And it says, "Vayomer Moshe al Aaron krav al mizbeach vaser chatascha ve'etz olasecha v'chaper ba'atcha va'ar ha'am." Moshe Rabbeinu was coaxing Aaron, come close to the mizbeach and bring the korban chatas for yourself, for the nation. Why did the tell him to come close to the mizbeach? What was Moshe afraid of? That Aaron was going to toss the korban across the azara onto the mizbeach? Of course he's going to come close to the mizbeach. You don't have to tell him to come close to the mizbeach. And the Mefarshim explained that Aaron was terrified of the mizbeach. He felt unworthy. He felt embarrassed because all of a sudden all he saw in front of him was, I was involved in Chet HaEgel. Yes, it was for Lishma. He was trying to push them off, trying to buy for time until Moshe Rabbeinu would come, so he made believe he was involved. But he was somewhat involved in it, and he felt terribly guilty for that. Who am I now to be the messenger for the Jewish people, the first korban? He just couldn't move himself. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to say to him, Krav el mizbeach. But Rashi says even further, Moshe said to him, Lama atabosh, what are you embarrassed about? Likach nivcharta. That's why you were chosen. That's why you were chosen. Meaning, had you not been involved in Chet HaEgel, who are you to bring a korban chatas? You've never sinned before. You're just a tzaddik gomor. You can't understand the Jewish people. You can't bring a korban on their behalf. It's since you've also done a sin and you've done tshuva, and because it bothers you so much, and because you feel so small and humbled and embarrassed in front of Hashem, that's why particularly and specifically you're the right one to be the leader of the Jewish people now and bring this korban. That's why you were chosen. Otherwise, you wouldn't be the Kohen Gadol. It says, when Aaron went up onto the Mizbeach, though, the fire still didn't come down from Shemayim and eat up the korban. He was sitting there waiting, and now he's terribly embarrassing. All of Klal Yisrael is waiting. He himself thought he wasn't worthy. Finally, Moshe convinced him. He went up, and the fire still didn't come down and consume the meats. Then the pasuk says, "V'yisa Aaron es yadav el ha'am v'yivachem." Aaron raised his hands. He did Birkas Kohanim for the first time ever. Yivrecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. He said the bracha to all the Jewish people. "V'yirei me'asos hachatas va'olav hashlam." And then he went down from the mizbeach. The fire had come down, had consumed the meats from the mizbeach. The Or Chaim explained that what happened over there. Aaron was standing on the mizbeach, and all of a sudden he thought to himself, "Why is the fire still not coming down? Why am I still not deserving to bring this korban?" And he thought, wait a second. Besides my involvement in Chet HaEgel, there was something else I did. I brought curse upon the Jewish people. Because I enabled them to do Chet HaEgel, they were cursed, they were punished. So now I have to bring blessing to them. I have to give them a bracha. So right there, standing on the mizbeach, he said, okay, I have to right now do tshuva for that other thing I just thought of. He raised his hands, and for the first time ever, he did Birkas Kohanim. And then the fire came down. He got a complete kapara, and the meats were consumed. The Baal HaTurim in that pasuk says, "V'yisa Aaron et yadav" is the gematria of zocha b'matnas kahuna. At that moment, also he was zocha for all the matnas kahuna that the kohanim were going to get, the chuma, all the parts of the korbanos that the kohanim were going to eat, all the matanos that go to kohanim. They were zocha to right then at that moment. He was chosen to be the kohen gadol. Because he was involved in Chet HaEgel, the fire only came down because he did Birkas Kohanim, meaning when he was because he had sinned and brought curse to them. That's why the Kohanim still today are blessing the Jewish people every single day. They have that special mitzvah because of the sin that he had done. All the Matnas Kahuna, had Aaron not sinned, all these special presents of the Kohanim wouldn't have existed. It wouldn't have been here. When somebody, because they sinned, is so upset and so doesn't like what he's done, that he decides, no, I don't want that, leaves it behind, turns around and decides to build off of it and go much further than maybe he otherwise would not have, then he redefines the sin that he's done. He turns it into the reason for his growth. He turns it into his stepping stone. He ends up becoming a Kiddush Hashem. That despite that sin, look how far he ended up going, and now it helps all other people when they're in a place of sin to be able to be encouraged and to turn around. So one thing that we have to know is, yes, when we sin, it's a terrible tragedy, it's destructive, and we're not trying to say, oh, Hashem will forgive you, it's going to be okay. Tshuva is very, very hard. If we don't do complete tshuva, we're going to burn in Gehenim. It's true. But Gehenim has a limit to it. Gehenim ends at a certain point. There's only so much that you're punished until the dirt is washed off. But then you have an eternity of schar. And the only thing that you're going to be turning up schar for is the things that you've done. If after you sin, you give up and you surrender and you say, who am I? How could I learn Torah? How could I go to Shabbos? I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. But if you use that now, you don't build up the schar. The schar was going to be for eternity. The punishment, if you didn't do tshuva, so the punishment will be there, but it's limited. Gehenna has an end to it. It's not forever. But reward is forever and ever and ever. So after a person sins, there's a pasuk in Koheles that says, Im ruach, Koheles Perek Yud Pasuk Dalet, Im ruach ha-moshel ta'ale alecha, if the spirit of the controller empowers over you, mekomcha al-tanach, don't move from your place. Uncle says over there, in ruach rucha di-yitzra bisha, Mitabach, if the Yetzahara controls you, the pasuk is talking about the Yetzahara. If the Yetzahara controls you and empowers himself over you and you sin, Mekomcha al tanav, don't move from your place. Don't say to yourself, oh, who am I now? I'm so dirty. I'm so undeserving. How can I now do this? Who do I think I am? Forget about it. Ignore it. Don't deal with the sin right now. Mekomcha al tanav, says Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles. Don't move from your spot. Continue with everything you were doing before. Go right back to what you did before. Don't redefine yourself. Don't identify with what you did. You still are who you were before. You just messed up. Even if you did something destructive, it doesn't mean there's not eternal schar to come afterwards. Continue to build that up. When you're further enough away from the sin, you could do tshuva for it. You could feel bad for it. So that's one thing that I think we could learn from Chet Egel, from the Jewish people's reaction to it, how we also have to deal with when we fall. One more thing I wanted to point out that we could learn out from Chet Egel. In Parshas Ve'eschanan, when they tell over what happened on Matan Torah, they teach us something that had the Jewish people done the following, then Chet Egel never would have happened. It says over there, Klaiso on the highest level of Yir Shemayim ever. I don't think they ever went a higher level of Yir Shemayim than they were at Matan Torah. They were trembling, sweating. And then Hashem says in Parshas Ve'eschanan, "Mi yitain? Who can make it? Who could give it? V'haya levavim zelahem liyira osi v'lishmo kol mitzvosai kol hayamim." If only, Hashem says, who can make it that if only their heart would stay like this, to fear me, to keep my mitzvos forever and ever and ever. I wish only if who can make it that they should always stay and maintain on this level. Hashem was hinting something to the Jewish people, and they didn't pick up on the hint. And 40 years later, Moshe Rabbeinu explained to them what hint they missed, that had they picked up on it, took the hint, and did what Hashem was advising them, Chet Egel never would have happened, Chet Meraglim never would have happened, Moshe would have brought them into Eretz Yisrael. What was Hashem hinting to them? Who can make it that their heart would stand that level of Yir Shemayim forever? Hashem! Hashem was saying to them, please just ask me. If you just dive into me right now, Hashem, keep me on this level. I don't want to fall. I like where I'm holding right now. I want to stay holding on this level. I want this year, Shemayim. And dive in and cry to Hashem to keep us on that level. So Chazal says, Hashem says, they never would have fallen. If they just had to ask for it, then it wouldn't have happened. But since they didn't dive in for their ruchnius to stay that way, they took the responsibility into their own hands and didn't ask Hashem to help them with it, that's why they fell afterwards. The Gemara explains where this came from. The Gemara says, why is it that Klai Yisrael didn't ask Hashem to give them Yir Shemayim? So they said to themselves the following, whether a person sins or not, that's Bechira Chavshis, that's in our own hands. That's all we have to present to Hashem at the end of the day, is whether we sinned or not, whether we chose the right choice or not. We don't want to give that Hashem, ask Hashem to make our choices for us. I'm going to dive into Hashem and ask Him for that. And the Gemara calls them Kfuye Tova for that. They're ungrateful people for not asking Hashem to give them Yir Shemayim. Why is that the trait that goes with not asking Hashem to give them Yir Shemayim, that they're ungrateful? What does it do with being ungrateful? That they don't want to get a present from Hashem, that's why they're ungrateful. Usually, an ungrateful person takes, and a grateful person doesn't take. And here we're saying, because they didn't take, they didn't ask Hashem to give them Yerushalayim, they didn't take, that's why they were ungrateful. So Tosfos explains, you know why they didn't ask Hashem for Yerushalayim? They didn't want it that afterwards, if they would have Yerushalayim, They'd have to thank Hashem for it. They didn't want to have to owe Hashem for the Yirat Shemayim. They didn't want it to be that was something that Hashem did. They didn't want to thank Him for it, and therefore they were ungrateful, because by not asking for something, because they don't want to thank Hashem for it afterwards, it was coming from a trait of being unthankful. It's also coming from a lack of realization for why we're able to make any good choice that we make. The Chazal say, and a lot of you saw it probably already in Messias Hashem, where he quotes it, that the Yetzirah kol yom is gavra la'adam, every day the Yetzirah strengthens itself over a person. V'lulei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ozro lo yachalo. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't come and help the person, lo yachalo, a person can't overpower the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah by its very nature is stronger than us. When you feel like, I can't stop doing blank, it's too hard, you're right. The Yetzirah is stronger than you. You cannot beat the Yetzirah. What does Hashem want from us? He wants us to fight our hardest, do our best, and daven to Him, and then He fights the Yetzirah for us. Every time that we ever beat the Yetzirah, it's not us. It's that we tried our hardest, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and made us able to beat the Yetzirah. And therefore, we have to ask Hashem for Yirat Shemayim. We have to ask Hashem to help us with our battles, because we can't do it alone, because the Yetzirah is stronger than us. So now we just learned the second thing from the Jewish people on Har Sinai right before Chete Egel, that had they davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yirat Shemayim, then they never would have ended up sinning. And therefore, when a person finds himself on a high, at a point where they're happy with how they're doing, where they're doing well, where their learning is going well, where their davening is going well, that's a time to take a step back and daven to Hashem and beg Him, help me continue this. I like this. This is what I want. And also to mentally tell himself that, and if I should ever fall, nothing changes. I have to just continue and pick up exactly where I was. I want to go back to that first original point because it's something I left out that I think is important. The pasuk says, Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. A tzadik falls seven times and he keeps on getting up. So the pshat isn't just that even if somebody falls seven times, you still have to get up. What a lot of Sfarim like to talk about, Rav Huttner talks about it, is that a tzadik, Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam, the only way to be a tzadik is by falling, getting up. Falling, getting up. There's no other way to be a tzaddik. You have to fall in order to be a tzaddik. So Shevi Yipol Tzaddik V'Kam. I want to add on one more thing about Shevi Yipol Tzaddik V'Kam. What makes it that after somebody sins, whether they get up and go back to Torah and Mitzvot again, or whether they just sin again, sin again, sin again, and sin again? What makes one person surrender and say forget it, and one person not forget it and just keep on fighting? So if the person to begin with, the Avodas Hashem, was just a burden for him, it was just annoying, it was a hassle, so as soon as he has an excuse to stop, he'll take that excuse. Ah, I'm a Rasha, you see I messed up, I can't do it, now he has his excuse, so he just stops. But a tzaddik, somebody that loves a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's not in it for himself to be perfect, he's in it for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so a Kadosh Baruch Hu is equally as there after the sin as he was before the sin. If what you're trying to do is be perfect, if you're serving Hashem for yourself to be perfect, that you ended up being a perfect Oved Hashem, so as soon as you mess up, it's the end of the game. There's no reason to continue. You're not perfect anymore. But if you're in it because you want dvekus with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because you want to come closer to Hashem, then that doesn't change afterwards. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. A tzadik isn't going to get up afterwards because he had the right intentions to begin with. How you deal with after the sin shows and it's megalit, it reveals why you were serving Hashem beforehand. Were you serving Him for yourself and now you're stopping? Or were you serving out of love of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when nothing's going to stop you? A parent, if they mess up with something with their kid, they don't stop. They don't say, oh, I messed up with that kid, next one. Like, you don't give up on a kid because you love your kid. That's just not an option. You keep on trying. When you love something, nothing is going to stop you. So that also, how you deal with after sin and after falling, reveals where you were holding also beforehand. So we should all think about this, prepare for what happens when we do mess up. By the way, another thing that somebody that doesn't love Hashem does is that he uses this Dvar Torah as an excuse to fall. Meaning, I could fall and then I could pick up myself afterwards. No, now we don't want to fall. We're going to fall. We don't want to fall, but we're going to fall. And this is how to deal with it after the fact. I'll end up with one short story of something that Torah Traga, a boy in Torah Traga said 13, 14 years ago. It was one of the first years of Torah Traga. It's the third year of Torah Traga. He's still living here in Eretz Yisrael. Yigal Halpern. He's a huge Talmud Chacham now. He started off here in Torah Traga. So I remember we were in Tzfat, it was on the Tzfat Shabbaton, and he was speaking at the Tish Friday night. And he was saying that he had a thought recently that just literally shook him up. He said that, you know, they always tell us stories, and I just recently read a story, he said, of all these different Gedolim, or Tamid Chachamim, Tzadikim, that at first it wasn't going well for them. Well, they were doing okay, but they weren't doing unbelievably. Their head wasn't so good. They were trying to learn. They weren't getting it. They weren't holding where they necessarily wanted to be holding. And then they would cry and daven and open their kodesh. And all of a sudden, at some point or other, things started to click into space, into place, after they were crying to Hashem. So, you know, I thought to myself, maybe one day a person will come to Shemayim. And he worked very hard. He learned a lot of Torah. He kept a lot of mitzvos. He fought his Yetzer as much as he knew that he could. And he's expected it's going to be pretty good in Shemayim. I'll be okay. And he comes to Shemayim and they show him, you could have been this. He's like, what? I worked so hard my whole life. What do you mean I could have? How could I have been that? How could I have worked harder? I worked so hard. Maybe a little bit more. But that, I could have been that. How could I have been that? If you would have asked me, you would have been able to be that. If you just would have asked me, I could have opened up more doors to you. I could have opened up more gates. You would have been even more able, cognitively, psychologically, emotionally, financially. If you just would have asked me. He said, if I don't daven to Hashem, he said, how do I know? When you daven, everything opens up in front of you. There's all new opportunities. We all send this picture to ourselves, the best me, I could be like this. But when you daven to Hashem, that goes away, that wall. Hashem opens up all new levels that a person could reach. So we're obligated, we have to, part of our Avodas Hashem is not just to push ourselves in all different ways, but to dive into Kodesh Baruch Hu, to help pull us up, to help open up doors, to help open up opportunities, and to help us respond the right way when we fall, and to help us not to fall.